Good morning. It's a Monday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Alan, this excessive heat wave is oppressive, and it continues into the week this week. Over the weekend, things began to heat up when it came to the Supreme Court justice decision, and President Trump says he will announce his choice to succeed retiring Justice Anthony Kennedy on July 9th. And as you often talk about salient issues, is this one of them?
Well, this is huge. The idea of choosing a Supreme Court judge who you have said you would not nominate anybody who wasn't anti-abortion, which means Roe versus Wade, which means that there is really something going on in addition to the heat. You know, David, heat is can be very oppressive, and people have to watch themselves. We warn everybody during the real cold to watch out, especially for their neighbors who are a little bit older. But also, you have to be very careful if you're an older person and what you're facing with the heat. I can tell you this much. Last night, Roselle and I went to the 90th birthday party for the fabulous Berkshire Theater Group. It was unbelievable. People were having a great time, but it was hot. It was very, very hot. And I can say that when a group like that achieves what this group has done in their long life, it's just amazing. Congratulations to them. Now, when you come down to the abortion fight, you have Susan Collins saying she will not vote for an anti-abortion person. The president is playing it very cagily, as he often does, and saying he's not going to ask any of the prospective judges about their views on abortion, as if he doesn't know it, based on the kinds of vetting that they very carefully do. So this is a real crisis for many people. Lindsey Graham comes along and talks about stare decisis, which means, you know, you go by the history that Roe v. Wade has been established law. It does look like in order to get a nominee through, Trump may have to say one thing and do something a little bit different. If he wants a nominee through, he's going to have to find somebody who is at least a Kennedy-like potential swing vote on this issue. But for so many people, this is a disaster because clearly the court is old. He will have other choices, and we'll see what he comes up with now.
Quite an election in Mexico. Riding populist waves, says the New York Times. Leftist wins Mexico's presidency. Fueled by anger over rampant corruption and violence, Mexican voters elected Andrés Manuel López Obrador as president in a landslide victory. I heard some of his speech this morning and his willingness to work with the U.S. for sure.
Well, he's saying the right things, of course. This is a disaster for Trump, obviously, because, you know, the political left in Mexico has no use for Trump. And what does he lose by saying he'd like to work with the president? And the president signals him back, I'd like to work with you. If, in fact, it's all the art of the deal, Trump may have to make an accommodation with Mexico. But it won't be able to stand. I mean, we're still talking about walls. You're still talking about rapists and murderers coming over the line. Still insulting the Mexican people. And as you heard his victory speech, David, you also heard him making it clear that he would work with the president when he could.
Alan, the New York Times is editorializing today on the Disney-Fox deal. As the headline says, sails through a bit too easily. Hard to believe that politics played no part.
Do you think? These guys are pretty transparent. Look, the whole game right now is loaded. Let there be no mistake about it. You don't have an impartial Justice Department, and you have an attorney general who, in so many philosophical ways, is joined at the hip with Trump. He may hate him, Trump, to Sessions, but why is he doing that? What is he saying, basically? He's saying you shouldn't have appointed Mueller, and that's it's personal. But when it comes to philosophy, David, make no mistake about it. These guys are in for the art of the deal and convenience.
Speaking of the art of the deal, the issue of tariffs and trade. President Trump shrugged off fears that the economy will be hurt. Every country is calling every day, said the president. Let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. It's going to all work out, he said.
Well, first of all, you can't believe a thing the guy says. Secondly, let's say they are. So what? You've got to represent your country. You've got to represent your issues. But in the end, he thinks he's sitting in a poker game, and he has the three of a kind, and he thinks he can just overwhelm anybody else. In the end, the United States economy has more power than these individual countries, certainly than Canada or others do. Nevertheless, what we don't like in life and what we don't like here is the idea of a bully. And that is the reputation that Trump and his administration are getting.
North Korea, we haven't talked about that in a bit. Can they disarm in a year? Says the Times, promises don't match reality.
There were printed reports this weekend that, in fact, Kim has been doing exactly the opposite, been testing some of his nuclear stuff. But if it is true, so much for Trump's understanding that all would be well and it would be done within a year.